It's time for Mac Break Weekly. Lo and behold, Apple announces more new stuff this month than they did last month. It's practically a whole new line of computers and mobile devices. We'll talk about it. We'll analyze it with our top flight analyst, Andy Yannotko, Renee Ritchie from iMore, and a visit from Don McAllister of Screencasts Online. Mac Break Weekly is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 322, recorded October 23rd, 2012. First Nerd Problems. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix. The powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with colleagues and clients from anywhere. You can share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code MacBreak. And by American Express Bank FSB, offering a high-yield savings account, the perfect complement to help you reach your savings goals. To learn more and open an account online, visit personalsavings.com/online savings, member FDIC. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your iPhone, iPad, MacBooks, or other smartphone. Find out what your gadget's worth right now at gazelle.com. And by PDF Pen for iPhone from Smile, the latest mobile version of Smile's award-winning PDF editor. Use it to sign a contract, make corrections, fill out an application, and much, much more. Get it for a limited time at $4.99 on the iTunes App Store now. Learn more at smilesoftware.com/MacBreak. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, a special edition Mac Break Weekly today, because Apple had an announcement. Leo Laporte here joining us from North Dakota. Oh, I'm sorry, South Dakota. I always confuse those two.
I don't know. North Dakota.
Are you in Southern North Dakota?
The University of Southern North Dakota at Hoople. I'm sorry, Petey Kubach joke. I'm in Grand Forks at the University of North Dakota, as a matter of fact.
You know, I love Andy Yannotko because he and I are the only guys who get PDF Bach jokes. Petey Kubach. I just really changed it. It's good to see you. Peter Schickele.
You just gave the Joy of Tech an idea for another cartoon. PDF Buck.
Andy, great to have you. Thank you for joining us. Andy's speaking in Dakota, North Dakota today, which was kind of inapt timing, since there were a few things going on in the tech world this week.
Well, fortunately, I'm speaking on like digital journalism.
Oh.
So instead of thinking about what I'm going to be talking about, it's let me tell you about how my morning has gone so far, how many thousands of words I've written, and all the different media things I have done.
Let me show you.
And all the things, as soon as I take off the stage, I'm talking to two different radio shows. I've got another column I've got to write.
Wow. That's great. That's awesome. Good to have you from the Chicago Sun-Times and his own blog, The Celestial Waste of Bandwidth. Also joining us from Liverpool in the UK, Don McAllister of ScreencastsOnline.com. Hi, Sky. Hi, Don.
Hi there. Hi, how are you doing?
Great to have you. I'm doing great, and we'll get the UK perspective on Apple's announcements today in just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty bombarded with stuff, to be honest. It's quite a lot to take in. It wasn't just a simple little announcement.
It sure wasn't. Also here, Mr. Rene Ritchie, our newest regular, I'm happy to say, on Mac Break Weekly from iMore.com in Montreal, Canada. Hello, Rene.
Hi, Leo. How are you doing? Apple announced all the things today.
Everything.
Everything.
You know, I think most of us are saying, oh, this will be the little add-on announcement to the September announcements. This was bigger, much bigger, even though it was in a smaller venue, than last month's announcements. Huge.
One thing after another. Relentless.
So let me run through kind of in order the things Tim Cook and Phil Schiller talked about. By the way, no Scott Forstall on stage, and there may be something to read in that if that's the balcony on the Kremlin overlooking the May Day parade. One of the generals was missing. But before we get to that, let's talk about what Apple did announce. They started off as we expected with a new version of iBooks 3, adding a landscape mode and a few other features We thought, the rumor was, this was going to be a big focused on education announcement. In fact, it was not. That was, you know, they did an update. iBooks Author 2.0 is coming out today. iBooks 3 coming out today. But really, that was it when it comes to education. These announcements spoke to the mainstream of Apple's product line in a big way, including three new Macs. Now, we did expect a MacBook Pro 13-inch Retina display. We got it. Very thin, 3/4 inch thin, 3.57 pounds light. It's a 2560 by 1600 4-megapixel Retina display. Tim Cook said the second highest density display we make. It's going to come
in the industry.
In the industry. That's right, because nobody else is doing this. It's going to be shipped with a solid-state drive, 8 gigs of RAM, 2.5 gigahertz i5 processor for $1,699. So it is much cheaper, about $600 cheaper than the 15-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display, but still at a premium price for the Retina. I'll tell you what, let me get through all of these, and then we can go one by one along. There was a new Mac Mini announced, very kind of high-powered Mac Mini with i5 and i7 processors, Intel's Ivy Bridge, Thunderbolt, and FireWire. They still make Macs with FireWire 800 on them. I think that's more a tip of the hat to how people use the Mac Mini than anything else. Not a discrete graphics GPU. It's not intended to run big monitors. It's really intended for server closets and perhaps home theater PCs. They did announce a new iMac, and here's where the surprise happened, because I don't think anybody reported much of a redesign on the iMac, and in fact, it was redesigned. Still has a big chin, but boy, it's very thin in profile, 5 millimeters on the edge, bit of a bulge in the middle, but the appearance is of a gorgeous, thin display using something called, I don't know what it is, but I'm sure I'll find out today, friction stir welding, 2560 by 1440. They say each display is individually calibrated. That's kind of a little bit of a tip of the hat to the photographers and other pro users who want really accurate color on their display. 40% less volume in this new iMac. 8 pounds lighter than the previous iMac. It will ship with a solid-state drive or a hard drive, spinning hard drive. In fact, the base models are spinning hard drives. There is a BTO option with what Apple's calling its Fusion drive, which combines flash with a 1 or 3 terabyte spinning drive. The 21-inch version of that iMac won't be available till November. It will be $1,299, the same price, I think, as the existing iMac. The 27-inch, $1,699 in December. Then they kind of surprised people. they replaced the current iPad. The third-generation iPad, it's the old one. There is now a fourth-generation iPad. Not a significant change. Same price. Biggest change is faster processor, an A6X processor, which Tim Cook said is twice as fast. Remember that the iPhone 5 has the A6 and is significantly faster than the third-generation iPad. So forget your third-generation iPad. It's now the fourth-generation iPad. That was a bit of a surprise as well. Of course, Lightning connector, as you would expect from all new Apple mobile devices. The iPad Mini, that's the name. It's the Mini. I didn't think it would be called the Mini.
Lowercase M.
Lowercase M, just like the Mac Mini. So it fits in that line, I guess. 0.68 pounds. Tim said, light as a pad of paper. It is not a 7.85 inch screen. It's 7.9. So there. 1024 by 768. The rumor was that it would be $329 for an 8 gig version. Close. 16 gigs, $329. 32 gigs, $399. 64 gigs, $499. You can pre-order Friday. You can pre-order Friday, but the Wi-Fi won't ship till November 2nd. The LTE till November 16th. Apple's stock price took a little bit of a hit, down to $6.24 as a result of the news. That's to be expected. So there's the rundown. No special musical guest. It was held in a small, formerly a movie theater, kind of a golden age movie theater in downtown San Jose. Small enough that I think Apple decided they'd better stream this event for the journalists who weren't able to go or get in. And so we were able to watch the live stream. We did make a Twitch special. It's episode Twitch special number 141. If you want to watch Tom Merritt, Sarah Lane, Ayaz Akhtar, and me comment as Tim Cook's on the stage. Phil Schiller did most of the demos. nobody, no third-party vendors, no Electronic Arts showing Infinity Blade Dungeons 4 or anything like that. So it was a fairly quick announcement, considering the amount of material they had to go through. They did also talk a little bit about the great success of the iPad. They say there are now 100 million iPads in use worldwide, over 2.5 years of sales. How many? They said 750,000 apps, 35 billion app downloads, lots of big, big numbers. Let me start with you, Renee Ritchie, because, of course, iMore was the source for most of the rumors about the Mini. Were there surprises here for you, even for you?
I think the only big surprise for me is when we initially heard about the iPad Mini back in May, we heard there'd be an 8-gigabyte model at around $200 to $250 with the express purposes of taking it to the sort of Nexus 7, Amazon Kindle 7 space. And it looks like Apple didn't go ahead with that SKU. They went right to the 16-gigabyte model. So that was the only thing that surprised me. But I think the form factor, the screen, everything like that was pretty much what we heard.
Wasn't everybody saying a 7.85 inches? I mean,
they might be rounding
matters
up. We'll have to measure it.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't matter that much, half an inch. How about the iMac? Did anybody expect that?
Yes.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Renee.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say that the Chinese message boards are becoming a wealth of information about upcoming Apple products.
Because they have to make them. And so
absolutely,
they're seeing them. Yeah.
And they posted about some of the internals for this device. And we heard independently that they're going to be using the laminated display from the Retina MacBook.
Right.
So you put that together with the other stuff, and it sounded like a thinner iMac. And that's pretty much what we got.
And if you'd seen pictures of this new iMac, you would have immediately assumed it was a rendering.
Yeah,
because it looks so thin, it's like this is not possible.
It's kind of shocking
when they displayed it on screen first. I thought it was a render.
It was a render, probably. That's right, because he did have one on stage. Go ahead, Andy.
I was going to say it was a pretty shocking statement about how committed they are to design and how committed they are to thinner devices, because we now have a desktop computer that doesn't have a DVD drive. Or an optical drive, and usually one of the reasons why you would defend deleting an optical drive is because, well, I mean, it adds bulk, it adds heft, it makes things less reliable. Well, those aren't really problems with desktops. The really surprising thing is that you notice that what's the most convenient place to put an SD card slot? That would be like right on the side of the display, so that you could easily get the thing in and out. No, you have to reach around to the back, where the USB connectors and the Thunderbolt connectors and all the other stuff are. That's how thin it is. Not so much that's how thin it is, but that's how committed Apple is to developing just thin displays, thin everything.
So the back of it, as we're seeing right now, has an SDXC card slot for your cameras. It's got four USB 3 ports, 2 Thunderbolt ports, and a gigabit Ethernet port. Don? I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, no, that's okay. I must admit, I was quite surprised because I sort of gave it a hard time on Twitter because it felt to me that it was just the edges that were thin. And, you know,
it's got a big bulge in the back.
Yeah, quite a big bulge in the back. But, I mean, if you look at the website now, if you look at all the promo photos, the angles that they're taking, and I suppose that's when, you know, that's the way most people will look at it. They'll look at it from the side or from front on. It does look super thin. But, yeah, I think there was being a little bit... not sneaky, but you know the way they held everything. But it's a beautiful device. I mean, you can't take that away from it. And the thing is that the amount of engineering that's had to go into it to actually make those changes is significant. And I really thought they would probably just bump the specs without doing the complete redesign until the Retina display was out, to be honest.
Renee?
The welding that you mentioned earlier, Leo, was really interesting because that sounds like the kind of welding. I mean, apparently, that's what they use on rockets. I mean, it's gotten to the point where Apple is trying to make devices so seamless, so thin, that they're using aerospace technology to deliver them.
And it's very impressive. They also mentioned that the screens are being individually calibrated. Yeah.
And they're not Retina.
They're not Retina. But we knew that they wouldn't be. I think anybody who's done the math, John Gruber's talked about this, a lot of others have talked about it, knew that you can't do, it's very difficult to do Retina bigger than 15 inches. We're going to have to wait for much higher-end GPUs, faster processors, things like that.
And I think Thunderbolt doesn't even drive a Retina display that big yet, so we'll have to wait for Thunderbolt 2 before we can get...
That's right. If you have the 27-inch Thunderbolt and attach it to your MacBook Retina, you don't get Retina.
Yeah.
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 All right. Well, so, okay, I stand corrected. We knew that you knew that iMac. Oh, big deal. Ah, they're going to say the new iMac. I did think it was interesting that Tim Cook said, for those of you living in the past, we will sell you an external super drive.
It's been floppied, Leo. It's been totally floppied.
It's been floppied. Mm-hmm. You know, you remember that Steve Jobs said that the Blu-ray was a bag of hurt. We're never going to put Blu-ray in. People, I as actor, are still saying, where's my Blu-ray? I want an HD home theater PC mini with a Blu-ray available. Well, guess what? You can't even get a DVD player in these things anymore. You have to get an external.
I wonder if Apple's is spending a lot of time, money, and effort designing features that real people don't even care about. I mean, so many they spent a lot of time during the presentation talking about all of these new technical buzzwords for how this thing was put together, how the display is fused, how there's no air gap between this, that, and the other. I'm wondering if the person who's going into Best Buy with $1,500 to spend on hardware equipment really cares about how thin a desktop PC is. I don't know. I wish I'd seen more value than what I'm seeing in the feature set for the new iMac. But I'm pleased with the price. I mean, it's certainly a reasonable price for an iMac. I don't think they even really increased the price that much.
Maybe it's $100 more. I can't remember what the
I remember it being like something like $100, $150, which is not a lot of money considering that all the extras that you're getting compared to the previous year's model. But I can't ignore the fact that so much of an Apple keynote is now talked about things that aren't, you don't hear the verb of, and because we did it this way, the benefit to the user is this. Right. It's no, we made it thinner because we like things that are thinner.
But when you go into a computer store or a Best Buy and you see all of the computers lined up and there's this blade thin, 5 millimeter thin, regardless of the bulge, computer there, it does draw the eye. I think that in fact is more about getting a retail customer to step up than anything else.
It's interesting. If you look at all the other computers that have come out, a lot of them look like Apple products now. A lot of the all-in-ones look like iMacs. A lot of the laptops look like MacBook Airs. And Apple, in a way, has to keep pushing the future of design, or they look like just another product on the shelf.
Yeah.
I have to say, though, that they did, and I agree with Andy, they do seem to, in the most recent presentations, really be focusing on the technical specs. I mean, I've never heard of a nit before. Well, not a nit as bright.
They're really going into nits, aren't they?
What's that about? You know, who really?
It's a measurement of screen brightness. Well, especially since I don't think anybody has anything to compare it with. Oh, it's 300 nits. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it used to be the processor, you know, and we could relate to processor speed, but they sort of dropped that and they're sort of bringing it back. I mean, one of the really interesting new features that they brought out is this Fusion Drive, which I know it's not brand new technology and you know, other vendors have had it for a while. But, you know, with Apple embracing that and bringing that into the iMac, that's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. And glad to see more details on that when it's available.
I'm glad, if anything else, to see a commitment to spinning hard drives. I really wouldn't be too surprised if you could only buy a real hard drive. During the keynote, they did identify that there are a lot of people who prefer the higher capacity for a lower price to the higher speed of a solid state drive. And so this is a nice little tip to the hat that at least there are people who still like that sort of thing.
We should point out that the Fusion Drive is optional. It's not standard on the iMac or the Mac Mini. And what I'm not clear about yet is if it's a hybrid drive, like something like the Seagate Momentus, or if Apple's doing RAID with two separate drives. The benchmarks I've seen for hybrid drives are unimpressive. Alan Malventano looked at them at PCPer.com and came away saying this is not a good product. It makes nobody happy. But we don't know if what this is.
It looks different, Leo, because the performance compared to Flash looked very, very good. And they made a big deal not about it being one drive, but about Apple intelligently managing where your apps go as opposed to where your documents go.
Yeah, and they did single out that this was a mountain lion feature, so it seems as though there's a lot of heavy lifting being done on the OS level to make it all work.
Ivy Bridge apparently has a technology, the new chipset, the Intel chipset that both of these new Macs are using, has a technology called mSATA, which enables this kind of hybrid drive. So I suspect that this is something that is part of the Ivy Bridge chipset that Apple is now taking advantage of. The MacBook Airs with Ivy Bridge have a revised SSD model to take advantage of this as well.
M for magical, right?
Magical SATA. Yeah, I'm just as you are learning about this, so I'm not sure exactly what it means, but
they're very careful what technical specs they give us. Like, they can't really explain Retina or laminated screens. So they tell us about nits and about brightness and viewing angles and try to reassure us that even though we can't see pixels anymore, there are still pixels there. They're not cheating us out of pixels. But for stuff like drives, they're still very opaque about everything that's going on inside.
The way mSATA, as my understanding works, is it supports a caching system. And so it would sound like that there's solid state memory, or you notice they don't say solid state drive anywhere anymore. It's all flash, even though they are obviously solid state drives in most respects. So mSATA apparently allows you to use flash as a cache. So I'm not sure. And the chat, thank you to the chat room, which is trying to fill me in as quickly as they can.
And they're increasingly just putting the chips right on the board and not actually making little physical drives anymore and putting them into the old sockets.
Right. It's somebody in the chat room has pointed me to a link on Wikipedia to something called Smart Response Technology. Eric Duckman says this is pre-launch name was SSD caching, a proprietary caching mechanism launched by Intel in 2011 for Sandy Bridge, which allows a SATA solid-state drive to function as a cache for a conventional hard drive. That would make sense. If that's what they're using, that would make sense. It would kind of be conform with what they described. But that would be two drives. Now, they had two drives. I have an iMac with two drives, earlier edition iMac with a solid-state drive and a spinning drive. So that's not undoable. I didn't, you know, what I would like to look at is The slide, I don't know, Chad, if you can find it, the slide that he showed during the presentation of the internals of the new iMac, because that would tell us probably something about whether it had the capability of doing two drives.
I think I have a...
Is it what Harrison says, is it the same as Ready Boost in Windows? I don't know. No, the cache in Intel's SRT is maximum 64 gigs, so maybe it is not the same. I don't know. iFixit's going to have to do a teardown. That's the bottom line. By the way, I could see Kyle Weens of iFixit spinning in his grave as Apple touted the recyclability, the EPEAT certification on this new Retina MacBook, and presumably on the iMacs as well. It's his opinion that these are the most unrecyclable computers ever. He's not
unrepairable too.
Unrepairable, he's not dead. Not spinning in his grave. Spinning in his Aeron chair. Pardon me.
I've got if you're interested, I do have the, I do a screen capture of the internals of the,
there you go. That's helpful.
iMac. It specifically has two different callouts, one for up to 3 terabyte hard disk drive. And that's like up on the left-hand side. Then the right-hand side, it's a separate plug-in saying up to 768 gigabytes of flash.
There you go.
So it seems as you'd get the idea that they actually have separate docks for fixed and spinning and electron drives.
And there you go. That would make it consonant with that Intel technology. So I think that's probably there it is. That's what they're using. So there's a section on the motherboard, in fact, that is where the flash is stored. Wow. I mean, it's a I have to say, it's beautiful, the new iMac. But Renee, Richie, and by the way, all right, we're going to have to do a poll. Who bought anything? Renee, you said you've already bought the 13-inch MacBook Pro Retina.
Yeah, immediately. I made a mistake and I waited for the 15-inch and I had to wait 30 days to get it. So this one I pounced on immediately.
Yeah. You have a 15-inch already?
Yeah.
Are you giving that to somebody or you just want both?
Well, the 15-inch totally, I don't use my Air anymore. I don't use my Thunderbolt display anymore. I just use that computer. But it's a little bit big and heavy. And especially if you have to travel to shows and do things like that, it's a little bit, it's more weight than I'm used to carrying around. So the 13-inch, it looks like a really good blend of the two.
Oh, now you're making me want to buy one. But you did suggest, and the one I'm tempted is, this new iMac looks gorgeous. I just can see it, you know, on my living room, on my desk. But you say don't get the new iMac because you think that probably next year they'll do Retina displays, you know, cinema displays, maybe not Retina, but cinema displays on this form factor as well.
The last year I bought the iMac to use as a display for my Mac Pro,
and I swore
I would never do that again.
I'll grant you that.
So I'm waiting this time. I'm not going to buy the iMac as a display.
Now, here's my question. You know, Phil Schiller called this new iMac a serious computer, quad-core Ivy Bridge processor, 32 gigs of RAM at max, NVIDIA Kepler dedicated graphics, this SSD hybrid fusion drive. Is this the Mac Pro now? Andy, what do you think? Or Tim did imply that in 2013, he didn't imply it today, but told people in emails that in 2013 there'll be a new Mac Pro. But boy, it sure doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, I don't think so, because when the first of those really public emails came when they were talking to someone who was deeply IT or like deeply graphic designer, the people who don't really want an iMac, no matter how powerful it is, where what they really want are they want rails, they want drive bays, they want a big box that they can then fill with whatever specific peculiar hardware needs they have. So until Apple can really get those Thunderbolt bus devices in large quantity and large diversity, I think we're going to see a Mac Pro next year. I don't think it's time for them to kill it yet. I mean, look what's happening on the Hackintosh message boards. It's almost become like a legitimate alternative now to build your own tower Mac. And there are people who are just so frustrated because they do need this sort of expandability, and they have no idea when Apple's going to be actually making one. And so that's why they're building their own from scratch using PC components. I think that alone tells you that there is a lot of people for whom the iMac and the MacBook Retinas aren't really doing it for them.
So you think somebody in the chat room says it'll be third quarter 2013 before we see the Ivy Bridge EP microprocessors designed to do that, Andy. Third quarter. Yep. That's going to be a while. And I don't know how important a market it is to Apple anymore, but I presume that they're going to honor their heritage and do it.
Wasn't this like the first time I can remember we heard mention of Mac OS Server in today's event, and it was only because they're talking about the top level Mac Mini, which ships in a server configuration. Because if people who really do need that extra performance, people who do need that closet grade Mac, are now buying Mac Minis.
Yeah, yeah.
I think another point, as you said, that this thing has the FireWire port. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I think another limiting factor is the availability of Thunderbolt peripherals. I mean, by now, I really would have expected to see, you know, a whole wealth of peripherals. And that was always my consideration when they, when they would rejig the Mac Pro, they'd sort of lose the built-in expandability because everything would be, you know, running on Thunderbolt. And it's not quite there yet. There's still the peripherals, although we're seeing more and more. That ecosystem hasn't exploded as I thought it might have done by now.
Yeah.
So probably still, a little while before that can happen.
We're talking about Apple's announcements. Boy, there's still a lot more to talk about, and we will continue. Don McAllister is here, Screencasts Online. Don, how many talks are you doing on the Geek Cruise in 2 weeks?
I'm doing 90 minutes.
How you doing on the prep time?
And I've had to do 6 weeks worth of Screencast Online shows in advance as well.
Me too. So
they're all done. So this week is Mac Mania week. So I'm actually I've sort of done the skeletons of all the
second,
and now I'm going through about halfway through. Putting the.
Are you going to Australia early? Or are you going to? You're not.
We're actually getting there. We're traveling on the 2nd, which is the day the new iPad Mini comes out.
Yes, I delayed my flight till the 4th so that I could have a Mini on the boat. I knew.
I'm going to be at the Apple Store at 8 o'clock in the morning on the 2nd, and then we fly on at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow.
So I should be able to take one with me.
You'll have something to play with. And they do say 10 hours battery life, so you'll be able to get to see
it. Yes, great. Yeah. So I'll be able to carry on. And I deliberately did my keynotes both on the iPad and also on the Mac, because I knew I'd be on that 20-hour journey.
Yeah.
still doing my keynote presentation.
Yeah. And I know, Don, I've delegated you to plan the tweet-ups or the meet-ups for Sydney.
Yeah, well,
Brisbane.
That's actually some guys in Australia, actually, kindly arranging that for us. I've still got the venue as of yet, but it looks as though it's going to be the 6th, the afternoon of the 6th. We'll probably have a meetup in Sydney. I'm not sure if we'll be able to do anything in Brisbane because we're only in there for the day and we're in and out at Brisbane. But the Sydney one should be going ahead, and as soon as I've got some information, I'll pass it on.
Well, I'm going drinking in Brisbane, so I'll let people know can find me. I don't think I have an excursion plan for Brisbane, so... my excursion will be to the local pub.
Oh, there you go. Well, we're there from we're there all day. We don't leave till 6, so you have an afternoon's drinking in Brisbane. And
I'll never forget seeing Chris Breen and a few other people. We were in St. Petersburg on one of these things, and they're literally saying, the captain's on the loudspeaker saying, we're going to leave. they pulled up the gangplanks, and I see Chris Breen in the distance running. They hopped a fence. They're running because the boat's going to sail without them, because they don't wait. I mean, if you're not there, they don't. So I imagine myself in Brisbane doing the same thing. By the way, Chris did make it. We were standing on the rail laughing at him. And they put out a plank. Like, they lower a plank. Come on, get out of here. What are you doing? Get in here, you crazy Mac maniac. Also with us, Renee Ritchie from iMore.com. Are there any more rumors? Are we done?
I hope so, Leo. We need a vacation. It's been a crazy, I think one of the most densely packed falls I've ever seen for Apple.
Unbelievable.
Products.
Every single product in the product line except the Mac Pro has been updated now in the period of a month. Also, Andy Anatko from the Chicago Sun-Times, who is in North Dakota speaking. You're talking about digital media, digital journalism?
Yeah, it's a 3-day conference on like digital media and arts here at the University of North Dakota. I'm talking about my big spotlight moment today is digital journalism. So that's why I'm wearing my official like digital like Cub reporter V-neck sweater. they don't let you wear this until you've got 5 years worth of experience as a columnist. So I thought I'd give the kids something to dream about.
A couple more years, you'll be able to get the Jimmy Olsen bull tie, and you'll be set, boy. Our show today brought to you by our friends at GoToMeeting from Citrix. Boy, even more exciting now because GoToMeeting on the iPad Mini, now we're talking. We're talking light. We're talking, you can get work done anywhere you go. I really believe to be successful in business, you got to meet regularly with your team. I tried not meeting with my team for about 3 years. Who are those people in the hall? So we finally decided we should probably have staff meetings. Problem is, staff's never anywhere you want them to be. We've got people all over the place. But you got to get together. It's the best way to share ideas, to get new ideas, to create, to collaborate. And of course, if you're doing sales, you can't make your client come to you, and you may not be able to always go to your client. That's why GoToMeeting is so great, especially now with HD Faces, because not only can you collaborate, screen share, show them the PowerPoint or the keynote presentation, but you can also see them and they can see you with high quality HD video. And that really makes a huge, huge difference. There's big news now. They've just added the ability to host. I am so excited. Previously, you had to use your Mac or PC, host from a desktop. You can now host meetings on GoToMeeting from an iPad or even an iPhone. So now you can literally have a meeting from your iPhone. The HD Faces, I don't know if they've added the camera for the iPhone, but they do have the camera for the iPad, which means you can be anywhere. You can be on a cruise ship and join meetings, launch meetings, share your screen, share your face. It's so important in sales to see and for your client to see you. To build rapport, to build trust. I want you to try this free for 30 days. If you've got an iPad now, especially, or an iPhone. Works with, by the way, Dropbox or ShareFile on the iPad, so you can share files. It's got the highlighter, the whiteboard capabilities on the iPad, so you can draw. Just really fantastic. GoToMeeting.com. Here's the deal. Click the Try It Free button and use our promo code MacBreak, and you've got 30 days free to try it. The apps for the iPhone and the iPad are free, too. So you're really set to go. 30 days. As many meetings as you want, as long as you want. If you decide to, but use the promo code MacBreak. If you decide to buy, it's just $49 a month. This is real. I'm telling you, you will use this all the time. GoToMeeting.com from Citrix. GoToMeeting.com. Use the promo code MacBreak. Let's see here. Gosh, it was so much to talk about. Now, of course, all the gadget blogs and everybody's just going crazy with different takes. I'm pleased. I think we're the first people to really identify with this Fusion hybrid drive in the iMac and the. Are they offering that in the new 13-inch Retina? I don't think so. Or maybe they are.
No. That's SSD only.
See, yeah, to
just
me,
seen a tweet. Someone saying it's a $250 premium price over the standard drive. I'm not sure where they got that from.
That's not bad, given that you're getting 128 gigs of extra solid state drive.
and the performance.
You need the chips in the MacBook Air to do the power nap, though, so they can't go to a discrete drive in those devices anymore.
That's right. That's right. Power napping is available now in the Retinas and the Airs. That means that while your laptop's shut down, or shut, not shut down, but shut, it will continue to get email and update itself and so forth. I'm also watching tweets from people in the demo event. Dave Morin says, well, you've got to see this new Mac Mini. It's gorgeous. So that's kind of interesting. As usual with Apple technology, seeing is sometimes believing. And sometimes people get, you know, have different opinions when they've actually held the device. I'm anxious to hold the new iPad, the iPad Mini. Let's talk a little bit about that. First of all, any surprise that they called it the Mini?
No.
I did a blog post today. I sort of went out on a limb and said, no, they're just going to call it the iPad.
That's what I said too, Don. I'm with you. I thought, well, they don't say MacBook, all different things. It's different sizes, right? You have the MacBook Pro 13 or 15.
It's one of those things, though. I mean, everyone has called it the iPad Mini since it's been rumored about. So I think it's just something that's stuck, and there we go. So you can't be right all the time. So
I hope you guys went to Gazelle and got your price on the iPad 3, because there is no more iPad 3.
Nope. Yeah. That blew my mind. That was filling my head with conspiracy theories immediately. Like, do they, because all my inbox for the past 3 or 4 weeks has been filled with Windows 8 machines, like hybrid machines that are convertible between tablet and keyboard. So, but they fuse together to a nice notebook. The typical specs I've been seeing on some of these things are where it's a really good high performance CPU, batteries in both the keyboard section and in the tablet section. A tablet section that's not that much thicker than an iPad, but with a combined battery life of something like 16, 17, 18 hours, and a price range that usually hits right into the middle of the price range for the iPad. None of these are $499, but if you tend to buy LTE, if you tend to buy extra storage, you can easily buy one of these Windows 8 convertibles for $700, $800. So I'm wondering if there was a preemptive strike against some of these cheaper tablet-like devices. I think that Microsoft would like to tell themselves that this is a sign that Apple's running scared about Microsoft Surface, which also launches this week. Overall, as an Apple guy, my last thought was, oh man, I wonder if this signals that they've got something really huge planned for the traditional next year, early season iPad release. If they're willing to do their conventional bump up all the specs of everything and release it for the same price upgrade in October instead of in March or May, what are they going to be doing in March or May that's going to be so distinct from this that they're able to simply say, we'll just get this out there and grab more sales in October?
Dropping it in a press release.
Yeah, let's look at the Mini, and then we can go on about this. The Mini is my fault, Andy. I brought it up, but I do want to finish the Mini before we move on to the shock and awe. The Mini is interesting in design. It looks a little bit like an iPhone 5. It has that beveled edge all the way around. The white Mini will have a silver beveled edge. The black Mini will be black and slate, again, like the iPhone. Also, you might note, if you look at the pictures, a much narrowed bezel on the left and right. Johnny Ive talks about that in the video, saying, you need to be able to hold it with one hand. So we did that.
Because if you try to hold it with two, you'll accidentally turn pages.
Well, that's the question, is what happens? Because you are holding it on this thin bezel. Your thumb is inevitably going to overlap. According to MacStories.net, the software in iOS has been tweaked to notice inadvertent clicks along those edges, which is probably necessary. I imagine they brought the design in, they tried it and said, whoa, those pages keep turning.
That was the first. That's the first thing everybody noticed.
Yeah. Instead, unless you want to go ahead.
I was going to say, if you put the iPad and then the iPad Mini and then the iPod Touch next to each other, you'll see the bezel shrinks almost at a relative scale between those three devices. Mm. And this really has the same body as the new iPod Touch, same beveled edge, same unibody construction, same aluminum finish. And they just made the bezel relative to the size that you need to hold the weight. It's more about the weight than the size. You really only need one hand. It's so light to hold it up.
Right.
You don't need to worry about the giant thumbs on the side.
I think another thing is...
Go ahead, Don.
I think another thing as well is the physical size of the screen, because they haven't gone with a 16:9 screen. So to, I mean, compare it with the, and they did, and again, it was another surprise to me in the keynote that they actually did so clearly compare it with a Nexus 7.
I can't remember them ever doing such a direct head-to-head comparison with a competitor.
Yeah, but, you know, you could see there from the size, 16:9 aspect, to keep the iPad, the iPad mini relatively narrow, that the only option they had with a 4:3 screen was to reduce those bevel sides. And I think it's a bit of a masterstroke, really, because they can still make it so that it's, you know, literally the same size as the Nexus 7, but they'll get a huge increase in relative screen size, but in the same physical device.
I think they showed them off side by side. At least the minute I saw that, I thought, oh, it's going to be more expensive, because there's no need to show them side by side unless you're justifying why yours is going to cost more than theirs.
But you also notice that, wasn't that kind of weird, where it's clearly the Nexus 7 that they're showing off and clearly the Nexus 7 they're comparing it to, but they just say, oh, an unidentified tablet.
The best-selling Android tablet, which, by the way, is not new. You know, it's 5 months old, and we fully expect Google to announce an update on Monday. So it's a little unfair to say, hey, here's what they're doing. Yeah. However, I think the comparisons were apt. One thing he should have mentioned, he didn't mention, is that the Nexus 7 does not even have a camera. It only has a front-facing camera.
The build qualities are surprisingly different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's clear. And that leads to the question, is the price right for the Mini? It's if you compare, it's only, what is it? It's $350 for a 16 gig.
$329 is a really odd price for Apple.
I mean,
that's usually the 3G price.
$329.
It's not usually the baseline.
Yeah. And the Nexus 7 is what, $250 for a 16 gig?
Yeah.
So that's what, $70? That's not a huge premium.
Well, no, it is. I mean, a lot of people aren't going to be seeing it as 16 gigabytes at a slightly lower price. They're going to be looking at it as $199 as the most affordable Nexus 7. And remember, we still have the Kindle HD to look at. I think that with a gap of $130 between these two devices, I don't think that it's a fatality of any kind for the iPad Mini. I'm sure they're still going to do gangbuster numbers on it, but I think that breathes new life into this category of $200 Android tablets. If Apple had sold it for $249, that would have caused immense problems for Google. Right now, they've really pretty firmly allowed all these other companies to say that we are the affordable content-driven tablet device. We don't care about developing something that's truly post-PC. We know you just want to read books, you just want to watch movies, you just want to Facebook from your device, and we're giving you the affordable option.
Yeah, and one thing he left out of the comparison, which you might want to throw in, is that the iPad Mini is 1024x768. It is a much lower resolution than a Kindle. I'm sorry, the Nexus 7, and a much lower dot per inch. The pixels per inch on the new Mini is only 162. It's far from Retina.
The advantage, though, is that they're going to sell this in 90 countries, where the Kindle and the Nexus are going to be in much... Right. Like the Kindle, they literally cannot sell anywhere without an Amazon content store, which is only a handful of countries still.
Right. Let me get back to the...
Go ahead.
Just to make another comment on, we were talking about build quality before, where they also pointed out that how much nicer constructed the iPad Mini is, where it's an all-aluminum enclosure. But if you take a look at a Nexus 7, I mean, there's nothing cheap-looking about this. It does have a plastic back, but if you actually pick up and hold it, it makes it, like, grippier and less slippery.
Well, and you can remove it and put a new battery in, too, which is nice. You can.
Can you?
Yep.
Okay, I've never pulled it apart that way. But it gets back to the idea that are people walking into the store and thinking, I hope that I can buy one that has an elegant unibody aluminum design. I'm not sure if people really, especially if they're, I'm sure they'd much rather have $130 in their pocket, or better yet, $130 to buy apps with and content with, than aluminum back. They probably aren't going to really even notice exists.
I think it's just two different markets. I think Apple is very clearly positioning itself in the market for people who value design. I mean, that's obvious, right? You don't put Johnny Ive in the heavenly room and have him expound every time, unless you're saying, look, we've got the best designer in the world. And if people care more about, there's people who care about dollars and there's people who care about design. And, you know, B&O turntables have never worried about the price. Yeah. It's always been about the design. And maybe Apple's just saying, look, we're the design-driven company. If you want beautiful, you're going to pay a little more. And I don't, is 70, now, you're right, Andy, people are comparing the 8 gig Nexus 7 to the 16 gig iPad Mini, But if you compare app, you know, something a little closer, 16 gig, it's only $70 difference. Is that such a big difference?
The psychology is strange because when you go over, if they had done this at 99 and not had gone over to the 29, I think just mentally it's a huge difference. People would have seen it as still a relatively low price, but 329 ends up being that odd.
It is a weird number, isn't it?
And I thought it was important that, you know, Phil Schiller spent some time talking about the apps, because that, at least my understanding is, that's Apple's key differentiator, that Google, Amazon, to quote Ryan Block, is still not a tablet. It's a media, consumer media device. It doesn't run a lot of tablet software yet. Google is still struggling to get tablet software deployed. They're going to be putting a lot of time and effort into it. But the Nexus 7 still runs, to me, more like iPod Touch software than tablet software. And every single one of those umpteen thousand iPad apps, including the Citrix stuff that you showed off, is going to run on an iPad. And that kind of software, that class of software, will be a differentiator to some people in the market.
Yeah. It's a lot thinner, too. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think that what we've hit upon is that Apple really, I do believe that Apple believes that there are two different markets for smaller tablets, and they are specifically going for people who want a smaller version of an iPad, as opposed to people who wish the iPad were better as a content device. Right. I think that I was surprised by some of the direct comparisons. I thought some of them were kind of, oh, I don't know, a little snake oily, saying, but look, if we delete all of the user interface elements from the Chrome browser, now suddenly our screen is 181% larger than the screen on the next, on the unnamed Android tablet. So I think I think that Apple realizes that they can sell a $329 tablet in ungodly quantities, and that they're aware of and perfectly at peace with the fact that Amazon will still sell plenty of Kindles, and Google will still sell plenty of 7-inch tablets.
What we haven't talked about is the comparison between the iPod Touch and the iPod Mini. And a 32-gig iPod Touch is $299, and the 64-gig is $399. Are people going to make the distinction between an iPod Touch and an iPad Mini? Does the pricing make sense? It's a very non-linear, that's for sure.
I think two different devices, aren't they? Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, if you're either in the market for a tablet or in the market for a small media, you know, music playback, video playback machine, I can't really see that they are completely separate devices. And I think that they're targeted at different areas of the market. So
the Touch runs iPhone software. They're both iOS. But the Touch is kind of the iPhone side, and the iPad is the iPad side, so they do run different apps.
Also, if you look at the sales numbers, while the iPod Touch remains roughly 50% of iPod sales keep going down, where iPad sales keep going up. So for Apple to have a cheaper, smaller, lighter alternative to a growing product category, I think is highly valuable to them, as opposed to, you know, miniaturization is nice. You won't be able to strap an iPad mini to your arm and go jogging unless you're really, really big. So it's nice to have that, but I think the iPad they see as more of the future than the iPod line.
Yeah.
They did put the same camera on the 5-megapixel camera on the iPad mini as on the iPod Touch.
It's the same device, basically. It's just the bigger screen, 3.4, and running iPad software.
Right.
I was surprised that it's so similar to the iPad 2. It really is the iPad 2, only smaller.
We had heard it's faster. It's got an A5, dual-core A5, right? By the way, he did not mention that the Nexus 7 has quad-core compared to their dual core.
It's kind of weird because you can't really compare Apple with Android specs the integrated model versus the separate model.
And who needs quad core on a portable device anyway, really, right?
It's quite a surprise, though, that the iPad 2 is still there.
That's the last 30-pin connector device. They kept it. And obviously, they kept it as a price point.
Mm. And for schools and education, easy, cheap device.
But did they drop the price on it? What's the new price?
No, it's still $399.
So
16 gigs.
$399. See, I don't,
See, the thing, it does cause confusion for people now, because they've now got three different iPads. And not just three iPads, they've got six different models within two of the levels, and they've got two different models within the iPad 2.
And Apple's fairly famous for their kind of linear pricing, you know?
Keeping it nice and simple and easy to make that judgment, but it's quite a complex judgment you have to make now as to which iPod is the one that for you.
Yeah.
And the iPod Touch, last generation and current generation, overlap now. So you can get last year's and this year's in the same storage capacity And there's a lot more math than you used to have to do to buy an Apple mobile product.
Yeah.
And this goes back as well to the price point, because I think you talked about it last week on MacBreak Weekly, that getting it below $299 or pricing it $299 to get people in the shop would have been what I would have expected, because it's, and people don't buy that price point, but that's the price point they perceive as being, you know, where the iPad starts and it's a place to go from. And I think they've sort of missed a trick there. Not that it's going to impact them at all in sales, but it would have been nice to have seen it at that lower price, just so that it adjusts people's perception slightly.
I mean, it's sort of a tactical thing. What they've given Kindle and Amazon and Google is another year to get their act together and get those tablet apps together. If they had managed to do a $249 tablet or even a $299 tablet, it would have been a much, much greater struggle. I think they would have that lead time would have collapsed to about 4 to 6 months, at least till the next version of the iPad mini came out, before they would have had to demonstrate an attractive alternative. Right now, they automatically have an attractive alternative to the iPad mini, and that is the $199 price. So this does give them some breathing room.
It is important to point out that you can run Siri on the iPad mini. That it has an A5 chip, so the iPad 2 will not run Siri.
Yeah.
So that is another differentiator.
And I think the new Nexus 7 is just going to be the 32-gigabyte version, and the Nexus 10 from Samsung will be the new competition at the large size, and the Surface, which you mentioned. So I don't think there'll be a new Nexus small tablet this year. So they pretty much knew what they were pricing against when they made this choice.
We're talking about the Apple announcement. Lots more still to talk about. Renee Ritchie's here from iMore.com. Don McAllister from Screencasts Online. Andy Iannocco of the Chicago Sun-Times. You got a little more time for us, Andy?
I can give you 15 more minutes.
15 more minutes. We better hurry. We want to welcome a brand new sponsor to the network, American Express. I'm real happy to have them. My goodness. The American Express Bank, FSB, wants to encourage you to save. You know, they always say this, don't they? In all the debates of people, Americans don't save enough. Let's hope we're getting a little more disciplined about putting some money away, whether it's for a rainy day or to save up for something big, a new house, a new iPad. A great idea to keep a little bit of what you earn in savings, but maybe the bank isn't the right place. The American Express Personal Savings High Yield Savings Account is a better choice than your bank. A competitive variable interest rate to help you reach your savings goal. It's easy to link it. It's a digital bank, so very easy to link it to your existing bank account. You're not switching banks. You're just opening a savings account with American Express, so you can transfer the money back and forth depending on your needs. Keep track of your balance. They've got great apps for the phone or on the web 24/7. No minimum to set this up. No fees. And, of course, great phone support. I've always liked American Express phone support whenever you want to talk to someone. It is a great compliment to what you're doing already. Let's set up a savings account for a special event, a new baby, a wedding. I'm saving up for my boat someday. Just add the American Express Personal Savings High Yield Savings Account, FDIC insured, from American Express Bank, FSB. It's a great way to take control of your finances today. Visit personalsavings.com/online savings. That's our special URL for this show, personalsavings.com/online savings. No minimums, no fees, no need to switch banks. Just put a buck in there and get started. We have $5. Put a buck in, two in there and get started today. Save every week. You'll be amazed how quickly it adds up, especially with the high yield savings. personalsavings.com/online savings, the American Express Bank, member FDIC, FSB. We thank them so much for their support. It's nice to have it. I made a change from my bank for something that had really good online capabilities. I no longer want to go to the bank. Who goes to the bank? I want to transfer stuff. I want to do it all. And I want to do it on my phone, on my iPad. Really is nice to have that capability. We got everybody, right? I hear a Skype sound, but that's not us. Maybe it's me. Have we said everything there is to say about the new iPad, the shock at a loss of the iPad 3 after, what did it, came out in March, announced in January? Yeah. After we hardly knew ye, after a mere 7 months, not even on the price list anymore.
What was surprising to me was that they actually called it the iPad 4, because we'd heard fairly early on they were going to be revving the iPad, generation. They were going to put Lightning on,
right.
They were going to put the new LTE chip so you could put it in more countries. But I thought they would soft sell it like the Verizon iPhone.
Yeah, it's a slipstream upgrade, kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, by the way, we fixed the antenna. By the way, we fixed the heat issues. But to actually put an iPad 4 name on it makes it that much more, I don't know, shocking to people who might have bought an iPad 3 already.
They didn't. Are they calling it the iPad 4?
No, they're calling it the fourth generation. The slide said iPad fourth generation, so they wanted to make sure that you understood that. But I'm looking at the website, and it's just saying iPad with Retina display, and they are saying twice as fast. They're pushing that. That's really the big upgrade. It's also Lightning.
Yeah.
So twice as fast A6X chip. This is the first time they've used the 6X. Yes.
The X is for Retina. They need the quad-core graphics processor to drive all those pixels.
That's the X is Retina.
Yeah.
So they had a 5X in the previous. Yes?
Yep.
Okay. And the A6. But see, now they're really pushing the Retina. But, of course, this is not the first Retina iPad. But it is the first with the A6X in it.
Yeah.
Twice the speed. Now, we did see that with the iPhone 5, that it was much faster than the existing iPad, the third generation iPad.
You always take a big hit when you go Retina for the first time, and a lot of the processor has to go to driving those new pixels. But
right.
They paid that with the iPhone 4 and the iPod Touch 4. So the new iPhone just benefited from the extra speed. But the iPad 3, if you put it next to an iPad 2, you could see that it struggled to do the same content at double density resolution. And now with this chip, you've probably paid for that already. So now you'll get the performance hit. Because some people who bought the iPad 3 were upset. They just wanted a faster iPad, and they got a better-looking one, but a slightly slower one. And now they get the best of both.
So this really is the one you want. You don't want to get an iPad 3. You want to get this new iPad 4. Also, they're using the new MIMO, dual-band MIMO Wi-Fi.
Jeff Bezos' favorite word, MIMO.
LTE, well, they had that before. Yep. Yeah. All right. So that's
more countries, though.
A lot more countries. Yeah. And again, that's kudos to Tim Cook, the production guy. He's really, they've shown that Apple has the industrial clout, the manufacturer clout, to really put these out in every country.
It was North America only, and they actually got in trouble in other countries for advertising it as 4G when, you know, they didn't consider HSPA.
Oh, you're talking about the LTE. So the LTE is now international.
Yeah, the LTE is now international. So before it was North America only. You could get it on AT&T, Verizon, Rogers, Telus, and Bell, I think. And now you get it on all the countries that you get the iPhone 5. Yeah. It's essentially the same new Qualcomm chipset that they're using in the iPhone 5.
Is that also true for the Mini?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Yeah, they showed a lot of countries and they showed a lot of carriers, including China.
And that's the Nexus 7, I think, will be getting cellular data, because I really missed that on my Nexus 7. I use my iPad out all the time, and I couldn't use, unless I tethered the Nexus to the iPad, I couldn't use it.
Right.
So I really think the small tablets benefit from having the radios.
You're right.
The thing that surprised me was the way it was is positioned and the way it was introduced. I mean, what, they spent about 5 minutes running through the specs, and that was it. For such a high-level product, it really took me that they weren't trying to, they weren't expecting people to upgrade to it. It was just, right, we'll just bring everything into line, positioning for next year. But, you know, it really didn't get much coverage on that entire keynote for such an important product. That was quite a surprise to me, really.
Well, and go to the Apple front page, because it's the iPad Mini.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe the 13-inch Retina, but they don't make a big deal about a new iPad by any means. I think that
I think they're expecting people to. It's not an upgrade. It's not an instant upgrade. Whereas you know, say from the 2 to the 3 might be.
They want to diffuse some anger, frankly.
Yes, absolutely.
We just gave away two iPads, and it's the old iPad. Unfortunately, we got them engraved, so we can't bring them back.
Well, I think you can get them changed
if they're engraved.
Someone did mention that on Twitter when they heard us in the pre-show, so they did say...
Oh, well, that would be nice.
Because we just had the line, "We're real sorry about this. We had no idea," to the engraving. Maybe that'll do it.
But the thing is, though, I mean, the iPad 3, I mean, it's a collector's item now. There's, you know, it's such a limited run. It's worth keeping.
It's thought to be one of Apple's shortest product life spans ever. Of them.
It's a collector's item. They said 100 million iPads total. That's not really surprising, isn't it? But it certainly is, when you compare it as they did to PC manufacturers, they are really knocking it out of the park with this iPad. For a new product category, it's doing very, very well.
And those are nice. I like when Apple comes out, they announce good, solid numbers, and they announce numbers of sold to consumers, not shipped, not stuffed in channels, not we hope that people will buy. But that's 100 million iPads that they have delivered to people. And you know, usually we get like 22% of the North American market, and we can't tell what that really means. So it's nice that Tim Cook still puts such solid metrics out at every show.
Let me just run through. I have to say this, MacStories.net is a very good analysis from Federico Vitici of ins and outs of the new iPad Mini. People are reacting. I've also been reading on Twitter the reaction. People are reacting. TechCrunch has an article about how nice one of the things the Mini is. One of the things they say is, remember how the iPhone 5 felt so light? This one even more so. It feels completely like a demo hollow, you know, product because it is so much lighter than the existing iPad. The Apple line is, it's not just a scaled down iPad. We designed it to be a concentration rather than a reduction.
That's what Johnny Ive said in the video.
Yeah. That's that. It's concentrated.
So, and what is a reduction? When you're making a sauce, you're kind of concentrating the
flavor.
That's
true.
That's okay.
There's not much of a difference, is there?
It takes a lot of money to build a shrink ray to make an iPad come. I mean, they're not building machines to make them. They're shrinking existing iPads down, and that's a big sci-fi investment.
Yeah. The cover's a little... It does come with a smart cover, wraps around a little bit more, redesigned. But it does have a magnet, right? We've still got magnets.
Right.
Yep. Still have that little flip-up thing.
Also, one of the nicest little announcements of the event was that now we finally have Lightning USB and Lightning camera card connectors.
And HDMI and VGA as well.
Right. So remember, the other side issue is that this is a bloodbath for the old dock connector. Now the iPad 2 is the only thing they sell that has the old style connector.
Yeah.
So it's almost as if it's time to start hoarding, like, you know, rolls of toilet paper before the apocalypse. if you want 30-pin cables and accessories.
Mac Rumors, Arnold Kim gets a little tip of the hat, a little kudos. I'm sorry, Digitimes gets some kudos. Remember, we gave Digitimes an F- on reliability of rumor prediction. However, they did predict an iPad 3 in March and an iPad 4 in October. And when did they predict it? In January. So maybe the supply chain did know a little bit something. I'd forgotten.
They often have excellent information. They just don't present it in a really contextualized, or they don't know which company or what year, but they have a lot of good source information.
They have the data.
Yes.
Yeah. Jim Dalrymple holding from The Loop holding it says the iPad Mini can easily be held with one hand for reading. I think he's a big guy, but he says he can hold it anyway. Mac Observer's Dave Hamilton says despite lacking a Retina display, it still looks crisp and sharp. Josh Topolsky says the same thing. He says the text on the iPad Mini looks incredibly sharp, despite the fact that it isn't a super high DPI. But 160 DPI is still better than we were used to with computers for years.
It's exactly the same DPI as the iPhone 3GS, but it's got that new laminated panel, so everything looks much closer, much brighter, much sharper.
Right. There, Anantech, once again, doing some great digging, posted a photo of the Wi-Fi and cellular iPad Mini showing the usual black stripe across the top of the device for the RF model. They say there is a pretty noticeable difference in performance between the iPad Mini and the A5 and the iPad Mini and the A6X in the fourth gen iPad. 2X, right? Mm-hmm. That's what Apple's claiming. Boy, there's a lot of information buzzing around the net as people file their stories, as Andy was doing this morning.
I'd like to see the RAM still. We haven't seen any RAM yet, and that makes a big difference. Will they stick to the 512? Will they go to the 1 gig like the iPhone 5? That'll be interesting to see.
That makes a big difference in performance, does it not?
Yeah. And how many pages you can keep open, how many apps, you know, are responsive.
Right. Yeah. Right.
iFixit is almost like a public utility at this point. I mean, they provide so much valuable information that everybody needs in order to do the next level of thinking.
We won't get a teardown for a while.
Yeah.
Not till November 2nd.
So do we order the Wi-Fi, Leo, and then go and buy the 3G 2 weeks later?
I don't know what
we
do,
wait for the 3G?
Kimosabi, but I'm ordering the Wi-Fi because I'm going on a boat, and I need it.
Are you going to use, like, some of the Twit resources to have, like, some guy, like, on a speedboat just, like, chasing after
Daniel Craig is going to get me an iPad Mini. No, that's a, I guess, you know, I could probably get one in Sydney, right? Or Brisbane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're being launched in Australia at the same time.
Right. I don't think I'll be able to get one in New Caledonia. I don't know if there's an Apple store there.
Probably not.
No.
Just remember that when that the rotation rotates left to right instead of right to
yes.
left when you use the iPad
That's
Mini.
That's right, because it's the sub.
I kill me. That wasn't even from a script. That was an ad.
You're good. You're good. I am getting my my Surface RT. I'm so excited. My Windows tablet comes on Friday.
Yes.
I'm gonna have all this.
No,
this
I'm
too
sorry,
much.
I'm
too much stuff.
No, no. I'm just laughing because like I've told my neighbor too. If you please check my front porch, there's going to be a package there that's very important to me.
Do not take it away. I want to get you to move. What would it take to get you to move out here, Andy?
If George Lucas's office ever said we need to hire a guy to look at every single script we're considering Star Wars characters, I would move. I've often thought that if there was ever a really cool job like involved in like movies, the arts, things like that, I'd be like, oh man, am I really going to leave Boston?
Come on,
yeah, I'm
going to
really leave Boston.
Come
for
on, this. Tell you what, you come out here, we'll hire you, and then you can talk to George.
I'm good. I'm good at both the mop. And that battery-operated floor buffing machine.
Oh, no, we have one of them wet Roombas. It's great. It just goes around all
Damn
the time.
Right in the middle of the job interview, I've been obsoleted by technology.
No, you know, I haven't bought one of those, but I can only imagine what an awful job that thing must do.
What I need is, if ever I have a room in my house that isn't covered with cables and books and power adapters,
right.
I'm sure we're polished like the 12 inches by 17 inches of open floor I've got somewhere in the house.
Does the Wi-Fi Mini have GPS?
Almost certainly not.
Almost certainly not. That is significant.
Yeah. I'm going to have to buy the Wi-Fi one to review it and then buy the 3G one to actually use it 2 weeks later. They're going to get me again, Leo.
Yeah, they're going to get you. You're going to buy both. You have to.
Yeah, I did.
You got two Retina MacBooks. Yeah. Why not just get two iPads?
I need one iPad for each Retina MacBook.
So I think we decided Sarah Lane was going to get the fourth generation iPad and I'm going to get the Mini. I don't know. You know what? I shouldn't be such a cheapskate. I should just buy one of everything, shouldn't I?
I've just imagined. I want there should be a Kickstarter campaign anytime now for like. Have you ever seen those like little like portable religious shrines that fold in? So a new iPad, full size iPad case with like a hinge on one side and a hinge on the other side, so you can have iPad Mini, full size iPad, iPad Mini, and just like close them on themselves when you're not using it.
iPad triptych.
Have a three screen setup.
All Russian dolls. When the iPod Touch comes out, then the Mini comes out, then the iPad comes out.
Yes.
The Matryoshka, the new Matryoshka iPad.
The problem is, though, Leo, with going on a trip, if I take my normal iPad, I'm going to have to take the 30-pin cable and the Lightning cable to get the Mini. So if I get both, I could just take one.
I've ordered so many adapters and Lightning cable. I spent $200 on cables and adapters and everything.
First nerd problems.
Hey, you've coined a new phrase, Renee Ritchie. iMore.com, Don McAllister, Screencasts Online, Andy Anatko. We're doing one more break and come back. But is there anything more to say about the announcement before we go to the break?
I think you nailed it. No iOS 6.x, no Scott Forstall.
Yeah, well, you want to talk about that a little bit? No Scott Forstall. Now, Scott, who is in charge of iOS 6, is the guy who's kind of taken the fall for the Maps debacle. He was the guy who came on stage last time and said, the best Maps program ever made! Do you think that means anything that Scott was not to be found anywhere in this announcement?
I think it's just that iOS 6.1 is a next year project, and we won't see him again until there's something else. Yeah. He comes off to show no new iOS features, and despite a lot of rumors, there weren't any new iOS features.
That's WWDC. He'll next appear with the next iOS 7.
He's not getting a timeout.
No,
he's not in the naughty step.
Unless there's a magical March event for some new thing that we don't know about or some updated thing, then WWDC for iOS 7 will be his next stop.
All right, I just love to stir up trouble here. New iBooks author we mentioned, new iBooks, MacBook Pro Retina, Mac Mini. Anything to say about any of those?
Riccio was in the video for the first time instead of Bob Mansfield, which was interesting because they kept they paid Bob Mansfield a ton of money to not leave and to stay along as executive vice president of absolutely no responsibilities whatsoever. But you,
I bet you, it's in his contract,
video.
And I'm not doing any more of them videos. That's it on the video. Don't put me in that heaven room anymore. I don't want it.
All right.
Hey, if you, you were smart, Chad. You gazelled. When did you gazelle your iPad?
During the announcement. As it was going on, and the second that I knew that they were
so smart,
that they were announcing a new, the fourth generation iPad, the large iPad, I went, uh-oh.
Here's the advantage of doing that. You get that 30-day quote. You're not committed to anything. You could just find out what it's worth and lock it in for 30 days. And now you can, at your leisure, you can take a look at mine and Sarah's and say, should I upgrade and all of that? Listen to all the conversation on Mac Break Weekly. Boy, I wish I'd done it. I bet. What'd you get?
I'm going to sign in. I believe that I got $399.
For Wi-Fi only or Verizon?
For Wi-Fi 32 gig.
Wi-Fi 32 gig. Let's see.
But let me confirm.
These prices go down. You want to get it now. $250. You got.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You don't delay. It's not going to get higher ever again.
Wow.
Maybe in 150 years when this is an antique, it'll be worth something. So quickly, go to gazelle.com. See, you are smart. I've been telling people to do this. Do it now. If you want to get the new iPad, the new iPhone, you want to sell some of those old junky BlackBerries, the HTCs. Ah, let me sell my Samsung Galaxy Note. Now I can get a new iPad. You can just go here and get a quote. Now, this is the beauty part. That quote's good for 30 days. You can wait till you get your new device, transfer all the data over, then put it in a box. Gazelle pays the shipping on anything worth more than a dollar. They even buy broken iPads and iPhones. So go in there and get the price you deserve. They will send you a check as soon as they receive it. They really do a good job. They're data experts, wipe the data. They check your gadget. They assess its condition and see if you were accurate. They will actually upgrade your value if your condition's better than you said it was. I've heard from many people they do that. Then you choose from a check, a PayPal credit, or an Amazon gift card. And the pro tip is get the Amazon gift card because they bump it 5%. I love Gazelle. It's a great way to empty out that gadget drawer. You got the messy drawer full of stuff? Get rid of some of that stuff. Get some cash to buy the next big thing. G-A-Z. And by the way, there is a Google announcement coming up on Monday. I'm not going to just want to say G-A-Z-E-L-L-E.com. Do it right now. Gazelle.com. Have we lost Andy? Has he gone on to the great pasture? And
done.
He's in North Dakota. He's giving his talk right now. Thank you, Andy, for being here. We appreciate it. Andy Onako at the Chicago Sun-Times. He will, of course, be writing voluminous, lengthy reviews for the print edition of the Chicago Sun-Times. Probably come out shortly after he gets the device. There is other news. It's not just the Apple announcement. There are big announcements coming. By the way, it's interesting because, Microsoft thought it would own this week. Windows 8. I mean, a new version of Windows is normally a big deal. On Thursday, they're having a big party in Manhattan. Friday, the pop-up stores, 32 of them open. People will get Surface RT tablets. They'll get Windows 8 software. They'll get Windows 8 computers. Windows RT, which is the tablet thing, sold out immediately. The Surface tablet sold out immediately. They were giving vouchers out. But if you go online now, I think it's 3 weeks. Now, what we don't know, maybe they only had 100. I don't know how many they made, but they did their best to create a demand for it. Is this anything that Mac users or Apple fans should worry about? Is Windows 8 at all significant?
For me, I'm going to wait and see. I'm always interested when Microsoft does something different, but the inarticulate way they've expressed what Windows 8 is as opposed to Windows 8 RT, Windows 8 Pro, the tablets that they're making, the tablets that partners are making, which mode you have to use, which one is. In their attempt to make no compromises, I feel like they've shoved all the compromises and decision-making onto me. So I'm going to wait a couple of months. I'm going to see which one you get, Leo, what a lot of people say about it. And then I'm going to carefully decide based on actual shipping product what's interesting.
Probably wise. And I think, boy, is that a perfect word for it, inarticulate. It's not malicious. It's not that they aren't doing something good or interesting. It's that they have really not been able to articulate what it is or what it's doing or the differentiation between different devices. I ordered a 32 gig Surface RT tablet with the higher end, you know, typing keyboard. And I'll have that on Friday, and I'll certainly be talking about that over the weekend and on Twit and demoing it as best I can.
I think, like, people on your radio show, or I always use the example of my mom or father, they'll walk into a Best Buy-like store, and they'll see an iPad and now an iPad mini, and they'll just choose based on size. But then on the other shelf, they'll see a Samsung Windows tablet, a Samsung right. Android tablet, a Windows RT tablet, a Windows 8 Pro tablet from various... And it's going to be a much more complicated decision-making process for them, and I think that... I think that makes it harder to buy a mainstream kind of tablet for a consumer.
Yeah, I have to say that although I don't follow it myself, the thing that sort of opened my eyes was the blog post by Paul Theroux earlier on in the week when, you know, even Paul said, and he's a big Microsoft guy, that, you know, it's just a mess. And people really don't know, people who should know even don't know what the difference is between RT and Windows 8 and what you can run with a tablet, you know, and the different types of services that are coming out. Right. So it sounds a little bit like they've got some trouble possibly coming down the track if people are just going, you know, oh, it's a Windows replacement for an iPad. People might come a bit of a cropper if they don't research it properly. And from the sounds of it, you know, people aren't doing that.
Well, and also Microsoft really is kind of behind on tablets and behind on phones. And I don't think they have the luxury of being inarticulate. I think they need to really, they're kind of remind me of the San Francisco Giants. You knew I'd work this in.
Nicely done.
You can ignore this, Don, because it probably makes no sense. But here they are, you know, down 3-1 in a 7-game series. They had to do everything perfectly, 3 games in a row, in order to have a chance to win the pennant. They did. Microsoft's kind of got down 3-1. They need to execute. And that's more than just designing a good product. They need to articulate the differences. They need to sell it and market it effectively. They need to let consumers know why they need to buy it. And so far, every consumer I've talked to is so confused and so worried about Windows 8, they're just saying, well, I'm going to get Windows 7.
Look at the comparison. Like, you go into the store, there's the iPad. There's not the iPad iOS, the iPad Mac OS, yeah. The iPad made by some other competitor to you. It's this old knock against Steve Ballmer that he's not the decider. He doesn't firmly believe in any one thing. He doesn't, like with Steve Jobs and maybe with Steve Cook, you get the feeling that if anything is wrong with the iPhone or iPad, he's down there throwing it at somebody's head. And with Steve Ballmer, I'm not sure how much he uses this stuff. And this Windows-only strategy seems almost to bind them instead of let them do what they need to do to move their products forward.
I will say one thing, though. When Steve Jobs came back to Apple in 97, the first thing he did was get rid of dozens of SKUs. He really streamlined the product line. According to the Walter Isaacson biography, he drew a quadrant. He went to the chalkboard or the whiteboard and drew a plus sign. He said, we're going to make 4 products. The 2 columns are home and office. The 2 rows are desktop and portable. We're going to put 1 product in each of those 4 boxes, and that's it. And he killed dozens of SKUs. And I do notice a little SKU creep here at Apple. I mean, a significant SKU creep. They now have a lot of different devices, and there is overlap. It is not as linear. It's not as clear as it used to be. Is that a little bit of mission creep?
I think it's possible. I think,
yeah.
Go ahead, Don.
The thing is with the laptops, I think it's because they're transitioning from the old traditional laptops to the Retina laptops, we're going to see probably more of a spread of SKUs in the laptop.
It's transitional.
But that's transitional.
Yeah.
And I suppose you could say the same for the iPad because, you know, we mentioned it earlier in the show about, you know, the mini with the 6 different SKUs and then the iPad, the 4th generation with 6 different SKUs and then this confusion in the middle of the iPad 2. So, you know, eventually that will go and then that might simplify things. But, they need to be a little bit careful because that is one of the nice things about, you know, recommending Apple products to people. It's normally very easy to ask a few key questions and to easily identify the sort of product that they want. And if it gets too complex, it makes difficult choices for people, really.
You agree, Renee?
Yeah, I was going to say exactly the same thing that Don did. And it looks transitional, but almost like Apple, the new technology is expensive enough that Apple wants to keep something at the lower end. So the older products are kept around a little bit longer and they muddy things up. The more pressing concern for me is just how much product Apple is putting out. They famously delayed Leopard in order to get people to finish iOS for the original iPhone. And now they're putting out everything at once.
Right.
And no company, no matter how rich, can really do that. You can't throw money. You can't throw developers. even Apple has their limits, and I just don't want them to start fraying around the edges by doing too much at one time.
The thing is, as well, with all these product announcements at the end of the year, and you know, far be it from me to start worrying about rumors for next year, but they do seem to have done an awful lot in the past quarter.
Holy cow, have
they? This really makes you think, well, you know, what can they do next year? What are they actually positioning themselves to do for next year? Because obviously, you know, I mean, Apple have got plans 10 years out into the future. But they seem to have had, especially with this last one, a real rush to get these products out before the Christmas period. But then it makes you think, you know, are they going to completely revamp their strategy for next year? So, yeah, I'd be very surprised if we see a new iPad or the traditional March launch for the new iPad. I think that's dead and gone. I don't think that's going to happen. So,
well, you think they'll launch iPads in October now? This is now the October?
Yeah, you know, and where do they, you know, and the Macs have all been released in the past quarter. So what are they going to release in up to October next year?
What was interesting is previous years, we heard, and other people like John Gruber, M.G. Siegler heard, that the new iPads were ready in the September period. The Retina one was ready in September. The iPad 2 was ready in September. And Apple held off, delayed them until March to keep those different product cycles going. And this year, that was my thought, too, is we heard the new iPad was ready. But, you know, Apple has delayed them in the past. Maybe they'll delay them in the future. And they didn't. It sounded almost like that grizzled old president or admiral on the deck of the aircraft carrier saying, clear my skies, and they just threw everything out, just shot fire everything, and that's what we got this year.
Well, there's no question now. This is it. The pipeline is empty. Everything Steve Jobs probably touched is done, is shipped, is out, and it's now clearly the post. It's the Tim Cook era, and we'll, you know, what that brings. We can only guess at this point. I mean, it's just begun in effect. So any surprise they didn't mention the new iTunes? They announced it last month.
Yeah, I thought that would appear today, but my Twitter's alive with people waiting for it to suddenly appear. So it might just be released overnight or something if they didn't mention
it. What day was it supposed to come out? Was it?
They just said
October.
Someday.
Which means October 31st at midnight.
Halloween.
Halloween, yeah.
And Zynga very wisely decided to shut down its Boston office and lay off 100 employees from the Ville and Bingo teams in Austin during the Apple keynote, figuring no one would notice. And they almost got away with it. Zynga's just really struggling. That's a good time, though. If you wanted to announce grim news, do it during an Apple event.
Almost political-like savvy.
Some bad news. I'm going to go through some of the other stories before we get to your picks of the week. I should have asked Andy for a pick of the week, but okay. Did he put one in the doc? I have to look. Maybe he gave us one. As a departing gift. Infinity Blade Dungeons, which they showed in January on the iPad 3. The iPad 3 died before Infinity Blade Dungeons came out. Isn't that interesting? Ouch. It looked good, right? It was Infinity Blade, which is kind of the quintessential Mac app, and they've been bringing the guys from Epic Games up on stage for every iPad announcement. Epic has announced that the Dungeons isn't going to launch till next year. Maybe just in time for the iPad 5.
Yeah, they need that A7X really badly.
You know, it might well be that. I wonder if it was that. I wonder if it was, as you said, the Retina pushing all those pixels on the iPad 3 and doing all the calculations necessary for a game like this just wasn't doable. Be very interesting to see it. The announcements kind of coincide, don't they? Yep. The other announcement that got a lot of attention in the Mac world was Tweetbot, the TapBots app that's been so good on iOS, is now out for OS X. We've been waiting for it. Tweetbot has been struggling a little bit under the weight of Twitter's restrictions on third-party developers. They had to pull the beta test because they didn't want to use up all their tokens. And now they say it's $19.99 on the App Store. By the way, I think it's probably worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It really is great.
Yeah, it's
great. I had been using Osphora, which you recommended, Don McAllister, a long time ago. It was Retina ready, and so I used. I left Twitter behind. Thank goodness their desktop app. They've just killed Tweety. It's very sad. Mm. Tweetbot's nice. It's retinized. It's got all the nice features of Tweetbot on the. On the iOS, but they say we have to charge $20 because we are not going to be able to sell as many because we're going to be severely restricted on the number of tokens, number of users we can have by Twitter. Twitter wants everybody to use the web.
Yeah, there was a lot of upset on Twitter itself. You know, people thought it was priced too heavily. But I think well, a couple of things. One, we've become too accustomed to getting cheap software.
$20 isn't much for real desktop software.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we're getting so conditioned to paying 99 cents for software that we are becoming desensitized to paying, you know, the true value of the software. And they did have this other factor as well about the tokens. And if anyone did get a copy of the beta and, you know, they're not going to buy it. You know, you can go in and revoke your token so that sort of leaves a slot open for somebody else if someone else does want to buy it.
Yeah.
But it'll be a while before they run out of tokens, but they've priced it to sort of take that into account.
Is it worth it? I mean, as far as pretty good, and it's, what, $4.99?
Well, I use it. The iCloud integration is great. You know, the syncing via iCloud between iOS and Mac is the main thing that I like.
Okay.
Sorry, Renee.
No, I was going to say, I use it 8 hours a day plus every day. I've been using it since it was in alpha. The original Tweety for iPad for Mac before Twitter bought it, I think, was around that price. It might have launched at 15, but it was around the $20 price.
That's right, yeah.
It was an absolute no-brainer for me. I want to be able to pay them enough so that they stick around and keep making this app and improving it. And because they have the cap, it's an additional factor. But development isn't cheap. Paying full-time developers isn't cheap. And the Mac market is not as big as the iOS market. So I'm happy to invest in software so that they invest back in giving me great software.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I bought it for sure. And but I thought, you know, Ars Technica had a very interesting article. They reached out to Tapbots. They quoted the blog post, but they also reached out. And really, the issue is that the upper limit on the number of users who can use your product, thanks to Twitter, means that they've got to charge enough to make their money back.
Yeah.
Ars Technica asked Tapbots if they knew when they might run out of tokens. In other words, have to stop selling the product. They said, well, it's selling well.
And users like us kill it because we all have multiple Twitter accounts and we put all those
right. I bought one copy. Right.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, that I understand they need to charge $20. It's worth it.
And in some respects as well, it's like a pro Twitter app. I mean, you know, I'm the same. I'm working at my desk all day. I've got it running constantly. It's there. You know, for a typical Twitter user, it might be overkill. It might be something that, you know, they're quite happy to use the web client or the web, you know, or just the free app that comes with it, although it's rubbish. But, you know, if you're a pro user of Twitter and because of all the support for multiple accounts, for the iCloud synchronization of your positioning within within iOS and the Mac, for the ability, I mean, it's worth $20 for me to actually mute various things, mute hashtags and mute people. You know, it's invaluable.
Paul Haddad at Tapbot said it was too early to tell when they might run out. He says sales were very nice. If you look, we're the number two top paid and grossing app in pretty much all the different app stores, just behind Mountain Lion. At this time, we have no idea when we'll run out of tokens. We'll know better in a week or two once we can get some more data on how they're being used. That's the key, right? How many different people are, you know, I mean, different accounts and different machines people are using.
And some people kind of unfairly compared it to Mountain Lion, saying Mountain Lion is only $20, but Mountain Lion is heavily subsidized by Apple hardware margins. It is not a fair comparison.
Right. No, all right. I think we've justified it. And, you know, you don't have to buy it.
Yeah.
The Twitter app is free. If that's good enough
for you. It's abandonware, but it's free.
It's abandonware, but it is free. Yeah, they're not developing it.
They haven't made a single update to it in months and months and months. And everything Lauren Brichter touched has pretty much been wiped away from
the original author of Tweety, which was the product bought by Twitter to kill. Actually, I don't think they intended to kill it when they bought it, but they changed their business model. They really want you to see those ads.
Well, it's also, I mean, from talking to people at Twitter, we're not their user anymore. Their average user now has almost no followers, follows hundreds of celebrities, never DMs, uses American Idol hashtags all the time. And that's not anything Tweety was designed for. That's what the new Twitter experience is designed for.
That's depressing.
Yes. Yeah.
You saw there's a competitor, Feed, PHEED.com, that all the celebrities are using now because... you can charge people to see your feed.
Yeah.
And celebrities are using this, Miley Cyrus and what's her name? Whatever her name is. I don't know. I don't follow these people.
Don't ask me.
Don't ask me. They're all doing, they're putting music up there and charging for it and stuff like that. I did sign up because I wanted to get my name. Let me see if I can. But I'm not following.
I hesitated because they were spamming Twitter feed, so I was hesitant to sign
up. Too late. I had to get my name so that Ashley Tisdale couldn't steal it. let's see. Surface orders sold out in the U.S. Some U.K. orders delayed to November 2nd. There are three-week delays, I think, in the U.S. The patent on rubber banding has been invalidated by the United States Patent and Trademark Office. That was the patent Apple was using against Samsung. The bounce scroll. You know when you slide, when you get to the edge and you can't scroll over anymore, it goes boing, boing. That's called rubber banding. It was one of the patents that Apple won in court, beat Samsung on in court. A filing from the United States Patent and Trademark Office invalidated all claims for patent 381, including two rejections on claim 19, which was used against Samsung. Oh, boy. I don't know what that means. It was an anonymous request to re-examine the 381 patent along with 4949, the touchscreen heuristics patent, that brought it back in front of the USPTO. And the USPTO looked at it and said, oh, yeah, you didn't invent that.
Or if you did, it was obvious, or it's, you know,
they,
just not
they say patent. Prior art. Yeah. Rejection A and rejection D based on prior art. One from a PCT publication number by AOL, controlling content display, published in 2003. And another patent by Scott Forstall.
Oh.
What?
In his spare time, he was inventing rubber banding.
Now he's really in trouble. wow, that's very interesting. So I guess, I don't know, I'm sure Samsung's immediately pleaded. Hey, judge, you see, we were right. We've already talked about what Google's expected to talk about on Monday. We'll watch with interest. Samsung, some have said, is no longer, Apple's no longer buying stuff from Samsung, but a Samsung spokesman says that we are not ending our agreement to supply LCDs to Apple. We're still giving them panels.
And Apple needs as many as they can get. That's why I think they went to three manufacturers to begin with. Right. They are severely panel constrained.
Well, it's interesting about this story was this one was Samsung saying, hey, we're not going to sell you anymore, which would be one way you could kind of get back at Apple, I guess. All right. I think that's it. Let's get to our picks of the week, our tips of the week. With Don McAllister from Screencasts Online. I'm sure you have a few. You're preparing for your talks on the boat. We're sailing for, we're leaving Sydney November 7th, right? Sailing for uncharted territory somewhere out there to see a total eclipse.
That's right.
And then we'll be back.
Quite exciting.
I can't wait. Mm-hmm. I know Jean McDonald is going to be on the cruise from Smile Software. She's watching tonight.
She leaves today, I think, or tomorrow. She's
going to spend 2 weeks there ahead of time. So jealous. Mm-hmm. Gene, you're so lucky. I think Allison Sheridan said there might still be, you couldn't still go, could you, if you went to Insight Cruises?
I'm not sure if they've sold out or not yet. But,
that would be unusual because it is a total eclipse cruise, among other things. And often those sell out because... hey, people want to do that. Anyway, it's Mac Mania 15, the Australian Eclipse 2012 cruise. Looks, maybe you can still book. We would love to see you. It'll be me, Don, Allison Sheridan, Sal Segoyan, lots of great art lectures and solar eclipse lectures from actual scientists.
Mm.
So you can find out more about what we're about to see. It's going to be fun because when, I guess the ship will look for clear skies. We'll go there. Astronomers will be on the PA system explaining what we're seeing. It'll be fun. I cannot wait. I hope if it's not yet booked, do. Absolutely. If you've never done a Mac Mania cruise, there's so much fun. 150, 200 Mac fanatics, lectures, we get together. We're going to do the Ingenious Bar again, Don. I hope I can count on you for that.
Yeah, no, that should be good. That's always good.
We all go to the Crow's Nest Bar about an hour before dinner. And anybody who has a question, wants some help, you can bring your Mac, you bring your pad, your phone, and we can talk. It's fun. It's always fun. It's very social. And it's great to get advice late in that hour because it's often a little bit more lubricated than the advice earlier in the hour.
That's
right. Renee, you're not going with us. Next time, I'll tell Captain Neil. We got to bring the guy from Montreal.
Absolutely. I'd be thrilled. It'd
be really good to have you. Renee Ritchie from iMore.com. Speaking of Gene McDonald, Smile Software, our sponsor, this portion of Mac Break Weekly, and their new PDF Pen Pro for the iPhone. Now, I was talking to Gene about PDF Pen and PDF Pen Pro. These are really great apps. They have a Mac app, they have an iPad app, and now they have an iPhone app for not just reading PDFs, that's easy, but for annotating PDFs, for signing contracts, for making corrections, for filling in forms. Fantastic. And right now, for a limited time, it's just $4.99 in the App Store. You got to get PDF Pen for the iPhone. You can even create a library of your signatures, of things that you commonly use, images, whatever. I love it. You know, you just stamp it with your signature, and then you mail it out, and it's so much easier. Retrieve and save PDFs directly with Dropbox, Evernote, and Google Docs as well. All the power of PDF Pen on your iPhone at a very affordable $4.99. If you want to find out more, you can go to smilesoftware.com/MacBreak. Smile is one of those Apple, you know, Macintosh and iOS developers that everybody should support because they support the Apple community. They were big sponsors of this Mac Expo we just had up here in Petaluma. They really love the Macintosh. They're really happy to be developing for the Macintosh. I just love these guys. Smilesoftware.com/MacBreak. Find out what you get with PDF Pen for the iPhone. Also works with your styluses too. You know, people are always saying, can I use my iPhone? I'm a contractor. I want to do estimates. Is there a way I could do this? You could do this on the iPhone. Have them sign the contract with PDF Pen. I mean, you could totally do it. PDF Pen for the iPhone. Now out from smilesoftware.com. Just $4.99. Let's start with you, Don McAllister. You got a pick of the week or a tip or anything you want to pass along of value?
I'll do a pick of the week.
Okay.
As I say, I've done loads of shows in advance for going away. And one of the shows includes this little utility, which is hopefully it's not been covered on the show before, but it's called Pop Clip.
No.
You've seen one by Pilot Moon. Basically what it does is, you know, on iOS, if you do a copy and paste, you get a little pop-up menu that says copy and paste.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same, but it's on your Mac. So you can, when you select some text, you get a little bubble appears with copy paste.
Cool.
But it gets better than that, though, because it's been out for a while, and I sort of used it in the beginning, and then I sort of forgot about it, really. But I revisited it recently, and there's a whole host of extensions now. So it's not just to do copy and paste, but you can install extensions so that if you select some text, you can go straight to the dictionary, or you can send it straight to Google Translate. There's about, I think there's about 20-odd different extensions that you can install. You can install up to 10 at a time. But it really, it's a really very functional, very useful application now. And it's really, you know, come on leaps and bounds since it was first introduced. I think it's $4.99 from the Mac App Store. And it's great just to do the copy and paste, but with the extensions, it takes it to the next level.
I'm buying it right now.
Really good.
You can do things like uppercase words. You can do a word count on the, I mean, it's very powerful. Yeah.
And what I tend to do all the time is when I'm pasting and I want to paste a match style and I'm always having to go up to the menu bar, well, you can actually put an extension in that does paste and match style straight from the just a slight move of the mouse cursor, click, and it's done. It's really good.
Really cool. Mm-hmm. It's called Pop Clip, P-O-P-C-L-I-P, $4.99 on the App Store, desktop App Store right now. Renee, you want to pass along a recommendation, a tip? You're new. You're the new guy, so we'll let you do anything you want for now.
I prepared an app.
Okay.
I didn't know tips were on the table, so I prepared an app. And I was going to pick a different app this week, but it was approved today, and it's Lorne Brichter's new app. And he very wisely decided that maybe he would cede the day to Apple News and not try to release with all the new products. So that's going to come out tomorrow. But the app that I'm picking today is TweetGlass for iPad. I was a huge fan of these sort of niche Twitter apps. And there was Birdhouse from Adam Lissagar years ago and Reportage from WearCloud. TweetGlass is just a conversational view of Twitter. It shows the people that you follow and then the streams of conversations, almost like a threaded list view. And it's got a very large presentation for photographs. So if you want to just sit back on your iPad and read Twitter, not quite like Flipboard, but almost like that kind of a feeling. It's not an on-the-go engage. It's sort of a sit back, relax, and just enjoy your stream. It's an excellent way of doing it. It's from Glasshouse Apps, who makes just beautiful applications.
And that's Lauren Brichter.
Lauren Brichter's new app was supposed to come out today. It comes out tomorrow instead, so I can't talk about it yet. But this one comes out today.
Oh.
Sorry, this one is
ours. Isn't Lauren doing that thing we talked about last week that... we were thinking of using for...
That's Brent Simmons' Glassboard.
Oh, that's Brent Simmons.
Yes. Lauren Brichter, he's only announced so far that it's a game and it comes out tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was going to do a game. So it's not out till tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to see it. Yeah, we were talking about Glassboard and Chad and I are trying to decide whether to use it or not for preparing the shows. I think we just decided to keep texting each other. It's so easy.
We've been writing letters for years now, so...
Yeah. We mail them. I need the exercise. Walk into the mailbox.
Yeah. I like having a full mailbox. It makes me look like I'm social.
It's the Battlestar Galactica approach. You're keeping it really old school.
So we mentioned the Tweetbot, which would have been my pick, but really it's a news story. Is available $20, but still worth it. The greatest Twitter app out there. Although I'm going to try this new Glasshouse. That actually looks pretty good. Can you tweet from it?
Yeah, you absolutely, you can do almost anything you can do with a regular Twitter app. It's just the way it presents itself is more like a reading experience than a strict. And this is what kills me about Twitter's new rules is they're trying to destroy the ability to make clients. They don't want anything on that consumer engagement axis. And stuff like this shows the potential of really good developers that they can still make fantastic new ways to use Twitter if they were only allowed to.
Well, I mentioned that. I mentioned a Tweetbot from Tapbots. If you use BusyCal, which has been a pick before, BusyCal 2 just came out. It's a paid upgrade. I think it's $20, $30. But I'm a big BusyCal fan. There's a replacement for Calendar on the desktop. And we should also mention another product we've mentioned many times before, beloved by photographers, has just been updated, Boinks Software's Photo Magico, which I know a lot of you use. And we're big fans of Boinks. Photo Magico 4 just came out, $99.99. If you want to make slideshows, if you're a photographer, you want to, create ways to watch your photos that are very interesting, add layers, titles, music, narration, sound effects, Photo Magico 4. I really love Photo Magico 3. We use it a lot. And the new version just came out. So there's a couple of new versions of old programs and one new program for you. Renee, great to have you aboard the Mac Break Weekly train.
Thank you very much, Leo. Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Yes. Alex, we're not replacing Alex Lindsay, but he's here so seldom that we thought we should have somebody who's we can count on a regular basis. And Alex will be here whenever he's in town. By the way, I got an email from Scott Bourne who wants to be back on at some point. So we'll get Scott on.
Cool.
Yeah. The guy with the iPad vest. Or I'm sorry, it was an iPhone vest, wasn't it? So I'll give you his email. We'll contact Scott. We'll get him on soon.
Sounds good.
Love having Don McAllister on, too. We are big fans. The connection was really good today, so I'm now encouraged. Yeah, I was a little discouraged. We've had some trouble in the past, but rock solid.
Yeah, and all seems to settle down now.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don and I will be on a boat, insightcruises.com. If I don't know if it's too late. I mean, do you want to go on a cruise in 2 weeks? 2 weeks? If you are the kind of person who could drop everything and go on a cruise for 2 weeks just as 14 days from now, you probably can afford it. So do it. We'll see you on the boat. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
I was going to say, can I do some blatant self-promotion now that we've got the new iPad mini? And don't forget, we can
run magazine. Forgot Screencast Online.
Well, no, my magazine's going to be on the new iPad mini, so I'm made up with that. I sort of predated Marco's by a couple of months. He's got the magazine, but Screencast Online Monthly is on the newsstand now.
So. It's a magazine.
It's a magazine, yeah. Well, it's a magazine with all my video tutorials and articles and stuff by my friends.
And it's called again?
Screencast Online Monthly.
Screencast. And if I search the newsstand for that, I should find it.
Yeah, I'll just search for Screencast Online. The SEO Tutor apps will pop up, and this new magazine as well. It's up to issue number 3 now, I think.
That's great.
Number 4 will be coming out in November. But the nice thing is, because they've used, it's the same OS, and it's the same resolution as the iPad.
Right.
All the magazines and newsstand are now going to be able to work on the new iPad mini, so I'm quite excited to see how it looks on that different form.
And did you use Author to do that?
No, I use an application called MagCast, which, again, I've put a video up on YouTube, actually, as to how to produce a magazine from using this platform that's been developed by a guy called Ed Dale over in Australia, by coincidence. And it's basically, I generate a PDF, run it through the MagCast platform, add some rich media and add links, etc., and press a button, and out the back comes a newsstand application that you can publish by a newsstand.
That's pretty darn
awesome.
It's
a really, really clever system.
Yeah.
But search for YouTube for MagCast. Or, in fact, if you go to Screencast, just search YouTube for MagCast. And I'll give you the link for the direct link to the video. It's about a half-hour video. It shows you my workflow as to how to create the magazine.
And we have been using, I forgot, you set up a glassboard board for the Mac Mania Cruise for the
That's
speakers.
Right, yeah. And that was
pretty neat.
By coincidence, actually, because I'd heard lots of people using Glassboard on conferences and stuff like that,
yes.
And I thought, well, this would be a nice way to interact with the group. Because the worst thing is, when you're on one of these cruises, you don't really want to flood Twitter with where you are and where can we meet up and stuff like this. So Glassboard seems to be a nice little private group where you can still send stuff out on Twitter, but to communicate with the group, it's probably best to keep it in that little environment.
Will you open it for all the cruisers? I guess we could do that, right?
Yeah, you can set up you can invite people, or you can give out an invitation code. So
So once we get on the boat, we'll just let everybody on it. Not that we'll be able to talk, because there's so little internet on these boats.
Yeah.
Mind we'll you, actually have to talk face to face. Ooh.
You'll go up in the crow's nest and yell.
Hey, Joe, come up here. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Do, again, if you want to see the Apple announcement, it's Twit Special number 141, and it should be up on the feed any minute now. We do Mac Break Weekly normally 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC on twit.tv. Please watch live. Really appreciate the feedback we get in the chat room. If you can't watch live, you can always get it on demand after the effect. We make audio and video available at twit.tv/MBW, or best yet, subscribe in iTunes or whichever podcast aggregator you choose to use. That way you'll get each and every episode as soon as it's available. As I said, there's audio and high-def video, medium-def video, low-def video, Mose-def video. It's all there on iTunes. Thanks for joining us. Now get back to work, because break time is over.